Welcome back to Divinity 648. My name is Christina. Today is Friday, February the 9th. It is 4:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm on 5G network and I have 14% battery life, which is an additional 5 and 5. Why is that significant? Because transformational energy, number one. We are in the process of going from retrograde all this time to stationary to direct, right? And again, we're not going to feel it as it's happening. We feel it afterwards because of how fast things happen and, you know, the things that are going on vibrate on a higher frequency, which means it travels faster than you can blink. So the speed of light versus our clock. And one of the things that I was discussing with ancestors and other higher vibrational things was the whole continuance of there always being threes, right? So the channeling, a part of the channeling that I was dealing with was acceptance and coming to the understanding that it wasn't just one God. Nine goddesses created life on earth, and life includes land, earth, like the planet earth is one thing, and then you have land, right? Things that we say is earth. It's sediments, it's rocks, it's sand, it's soil, it's dirt. It's the various layers of anything that is not water. Ocean, river, lake, right? So I was told that it was the nine goddesses that were birthed by Ron, who created the life force that we call life on earth, right? They created land and other things that are essential for us to thrive and survive. And then I was told that more gods and goddesses came to existence and was birthed and played their role. But the original energy, which reincarnates and let's say we have a god that comes and talks to me and is one way with me, and that same god goes on the other side of the world and talks to someone else and is a completely different mannerism with that someone else based on that person's energetic frequency and what they're able to receive and mirror. So it doesn't make that god a different god. However, you might call that person, that god, that soul, one name. And I'm going to refer to it as something completely different, although it is the same. So we tend to typically have about 12, 13 for some gods and goddesses. You've got like 30 names for one. But the different names are the way that you recognize the characteristics within that energy. So this energy came through and was completing the last of my lessons as far as the cycle of life goes. And we were continuing, number one, we were continuing the conversation on there being three genders, right? The what we call a male gender, what we call a female gender, and what we call a hermaphrodite, right? I believe is the word that I found when I Googled it. Why we don't call it something else is beyond me. Why we couldn't just accept the fact that there's three genders is also beyond me. But it's not a deformity. It's not a mistake, right? The souls, they love very powerfully. And it doesn't matter what your gender is because your soul has no gender, right? Gods have no gender, not really. It's the energy that they vibrate. We are the ones that slap limitations on everything. And that's that whole illusion, you live in the matrix jazz that we all talk about. We genuinely live in a matrix. We're a player one in a video game because we are maneuvering our way through limitations and factors that technically don't exist. And it doesn't exist because we're the only ones doing it, right? We're the ones that have to walk by a clock. Time does not exist. We created time to measure the distance between sunrise and sunset, right? We had to do that because we put ourselves on schedules and put ourselves through obligations and commitments that we couldn't say, hey, I'll be there. Well, when will you be there? Well, nobody knew when because, I mean, back in the day, you know, it is what it is. We didn't care. You know, we'll say when the sun is, and then we would just say it. We would point to it. When the sun is over here, I should be back by then. Or you know how long it takes to get from one colony to another, right? Things like that. So we thought we were perfecting everything by coming up with time and, you know, 12 and 12 and all this other greatness. So illusions. Limitation in general is an illusion. Restriction is an illusion because you're never restricted. You allow something or someone to restrict you, if that makes sense. So back to the genders, when we were talking about the genders, they kept explaining to me there's always been three genders. You can't have just the one. It's always been the three. And back in the initial phase of having more human beings and populating, the third gender would actually just produce, believe it or not. And the importance of the third gender was to be able to satisfy the singular. Because initially it was both. Okay? And God didn't make Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve weren't even names that people used back then. So why you even say God made Adam and Eve and not Steve? It blows my mind why we even call them Adam and Eve. Think about those names. How old those names are. Those names did not exist back then. I'm sorry. I'm not sugarcoating it. There's no such thing as Adam. There's no such thing as Eve. There is such thing as one, two, and three. The first, the second, and the third. Or oldest, next oldest, youngest, right? We have to have names and we have to have titles and, you know, all that jazz. And this is not something that existed back then. They didn't care about stuff like this back then. It was irrelevant. You know, the names Lucy and all that stuff never even... Think about it. Look how ancient Native ancestry is. Yet their names are nothing close to Adam, Eve, Lucy, or Steve. They called each other based on the vibration that they received. They got messages. They could see layers, right? I have the best ability to look at someone and I can see an animal feature within them. And if I don't see an animal feature within them, then that's red flags for me. But I can genuinely see animal features over people. I've looked at people and I've seen mouse. I've looked at people, I've seen snakes. I've looked at people, I've seen, I'm not going to keep going, but you can see, you know, like when you look at an x-ray, there's like a white shadowy kind of image for like soft tissue or around like the bones and stuff. So think of it being like an x-ray. I can see you like everybody else can see you, but then there's like that shadowy stuff all around you, which forms your second realm or your second face, which would tell me what kind of person you are. You're either a snake, you're a rat. You know, there's other animals that we use that I won't list here. It's my business, right? We're all different. But I can typically tell who you are as an individual when they allow me to see your true face. And sometimes I'll completely ignore it, right? Because who am I? I'm not really judging. I'm just extremely curious. But back to what I was saying about the genders. We didn't have Adam, Eve, and Steve. We had a masculine, a feminine, and the in-between, the best of both worlds, the happy medium, the complete balance, which would have both organs, however that soul needed those organs to be manifested, right? And that's how we mass populated, because we embraced the in-between. Sometimes that in-between would mate with a male and a female, give birth themselves, and allow another to be able to carry and give birth themselves. Right? It was at one point superior to have both, which is why in an older episode I said how we should be respecting and honoring and valuing individuals who are consciously acknowledging that they're in the wrong body as per the way that their soul feels, right? We should not be looking at someone, oh, you know, you like men, you're gay, you're very feminine. We shouldn't be knocking that. We should kind of be watching that, like, okay, your soul, even if you are unconscious to it, your soul is recognizing that you are a whatever, X, Y, or Z, and you prefer X, Y, or Z. Your soul is telling you, you're born in this body, but energetically you vibrate over here. You know, so I was applauding those individuals who live with that, because that's a whole nother, you know, I thought my energetic growth with some shit, but that's another element that I did get to experience. I got to experience it when I was around 18, 19, somewhere around there, maybe no more than 23, somewhere between that age group. I was experiencing that layer of soul identity and physical identity and recognizing vibrational patterns and states of being and what that means in the physical realm. So you go through these phases. We call them bicurious. We call them, you know, lesbian phase. You're not really a lesbian, but you entertained it for a little while, or you're not really gay, but you just happen to like an orgasm that comes from that area of your body, and it just so happens that's the only way to stimulate it. It doesn't make you gay. It just means you've had a taste of what that felt like. It fucking feels amazing, and you prefer it. It doesn't make you gay. It means you're in tune with your body. You're in tune with the way to release necessary hormones and chemicals within the body. And you're game to do it by any and all means necessary. Doesn't make you gay. It just means you like it. You know, I was thinking about those gay pride rallies in the pit. Protesters with the signs that said God didn't make Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve, he made Adam and Eve. And I'm still sitting here kind of reflecting on it, like, technically those weren't the names. And yeah, he did. He made Adam, Eve, and I don't know, Angel, right? The third one being an angel that could be both sexes at the same exact time. Not only energetically embody both masculine and feminine energy like we all embody, but also physically have both masculine and feminine characteristics to match the vibration of their body, their soul. That's incredible. So we should be embracing them. Number one, we should not be calling them hermaphrodites like they're some fucking freak of nature. We should be giving them a lot of respect and embracing the fact that we have always had three genders the whole time, and have a better perspective of things, right? One of the things that we were talking about in my lessons was how 3 = 4, which turns into 5. And they were showing me how we all have a life partner. Some of us have multiple life partners, depending on what you signed up for when you signed that soul contract. And no matter who you are, you have one soul level partner. Your soul level partner is going to be able to impact your life and touch your soul in ways that nobody else can. Period. No matter what anybody wants to say or do about it, it doesn't mean you're supposed to be in union in this lifetime with your soul person. It just means you have a soul level soulmate, and you have a physical realm, this lifetime soulmate. One is destined to be with you in this lifetime, and you guys can break your contract at any given point. And one is not necessarily destined to be with you in this lifetime, but will always be a part of you because it's a soul level connection that you will never break. And typically you reincarnate with your soul level person every lifetime because they're going to show up eventually somehow, some way. Even if you're completely different strangers living in different time zones, they're going to show up somehow, some way in your life. You're going to cross paths with them eventually. And it's going to be that holy fucking shit. We can do great things together. And sometimes it ends up being a relative. It ends up being a coworker. It ends up being a lover. It ends up being a friend. It ends up being a, you know, I already said coworker, about a business partner or something like that. It doesn't always be a romantic person. Make no mistake. 9 out of 9.999 times, you will always feel sexually attracted to each other on a level that it can be intimidating and can be nerve-wracking. It could be very powerful, right? You could have intimacy in the ethers and never even physically cross paths with each other. That's soul level soul mates. And sometimes you can call in that level of a partner when the physical partner, the physical realm partner, fucks up or dies or breaks their contract or exercises free will to remove themselves or delay the way that things were supposed to unfold, right? Because what's meant to be is always going to be. It's just the when based on your actions, your motives, and stuff like that. So twin flames would be other individuals who vibrate in a similar manner than you, as you. Twin flames could be anybody, just like your soul level soulmate can appear in this lifetime to you as just about anybody or no one, right? But they're always manifested into this realm. They're always around. Even if they're birthed after you, their soul is energetically around you within your aura or around your aura doing things on the energetic level so that way you are in alignment with whatever the contract you guys agreed to be in. So twin flames are individuals who have similar vibration, and this is because they came in on a similar frequency, even if it was like 10 years ahead of you, 20 years ahead of you, the vibration that y'all came in on is the same. So you're twinning, you know, you're not born out of the same womb, but you're born from the same vibration. We call that race. We call that nationality. We can call that community. We can call that religion. We can call that spirituality group, you know, your esoteric background or whatever groups you want to participate in, you know, age groups, however you want to group yourself in. That's the equivalent. You know, it could be the class of 99. Well, that whole class of 99 rode in at the same time, kind of deal. Stuff like that, right? So you have twin flames, you have a soul mate, but you also have a soul level soul mate. That's that powerful part of how three becomes four, because your soul level soulmate has a physical life realm, life soulmate, right? Life partner in the physical realm. And my friend, unfortunately, there's your fourth. And unfortunately, they get their partner, which is how you get five. And it just, it's to see the way the connection forms, it always forms in the same manner as that pattern that radiates throughout the universe. If you really pay attention to the way that things are shaped and clustered, you'll see what I'm talking about. And it just overlaps and it overlaps and it overlaps, because everybody has a physical realm life partner, and everybody who is pretty much, I can't say everybody here has a soul level soulmate, because I'm not finished with that entire storyline right there. Like, that's the lessons that I'm going to be receiving nonstop until I'm done. It's a little tricky because I keep hearing not everyone, but it's everyone. It doesn't make sense. It's almost like everyone has a soulmate. Everybody's probably going to cross paths with someone who would be classified as a higher level soulmate, but not everyone will have godlike interactions with your higher level soulmate. And while I'm channeling right now, I'm hearing it, let's just do this. And it's kind of like, okay, well, we don't all have soul level soulmates that are physically manifested into the physical realm at the same time of us. There's only X amount of people who do that, and it's for X amount of class, and I'm not getting into that. Then goes the physical realm soulmates that everyone has. So does everyone have a soulmate in twin flames? Yes. And yes, does everyone have a soul level soulmate? The answer is yes, but not always, not majority will experience them with you guys living in the same lifetime. That would be extremely rare. Does it exist? Is it going to happen? Is it possible? Absolutely. But unless you belong to a certain vibrational group, it is very unlikely that it will happen every time you incarnate. However, you still have one. They're probably somewhere else or in spirit, so they can help you through your karmic lessons, because it's about a vibrational state. You know, that's that magnet part where you can put the magnets together and they'll lock into each other. They'll hold on with a hell of a grip. And then you can flip them the other way around, and no matter what you do, they push each other away from each other. That would be that twin flame runner chaser bullshit. Not everyone's soul level soulmate is going to be for them in their life, especially if you guys got work to do. They're going to carry a lot of burdens. You got a lot of burdens, but I keep hearing no. 9 out of 9 times, you are not going to incarnate in the same life with your soul level soulmate. 9 out of 9 times, you are going to be completely separated, so that way you guys can grow as you're supposed to in different parts and experience different things. In the original incarnations of all of this, they just never birthed. One stayed up in the ethers. I'm going to call it the ethers just because there's no really word for it. And would watch everything you'd go through, everything you'd experience. They'd be your spirit guide. So for those of you who understand spirit guide, that spirit guide, that other higher vibrational part of you, is your life soulmate. And they are almost every time going to come through as your spirit guide. They're going to be with you from the minute you're birthed to the minute you pass. And it's because they're your soul level soulmate. Their job is to stay on the other side so they can guide you and help you through. Who's going to root for you better than the person who's a part of you? So do you have one? Yes. Do you incarnate with them 99%, 99.99999% of the time? The answer is no, because they're your soul. They're your conscious. They're your spirit guide, your intuition, so on and so forth. Now, those who do incarnate with their soul level soulmate, you talk to yourself and you get answers back. You think you're answering yourself, and then you realize that you might have something similar to being a mystic or a Sangoma, whatever word you want to slap on it. You end up working with ancestors. You work with a bunch of different souls that are tied to your soul's lineage, not necessarily the physical life lineage, but your soul's lineage. Okay, so it doesn't matter if your blood shows you living in France or showing you living in Africa. Your soul level lineage are the people who are going to be guiding you, and you're going to hear it and feel it much differently than, oh, I have a spirit guide. Oh, there's always somebody looking out for me. Oh, I know it's this person because this and this and that. You know, it's very different. You always speak to a family member, loved one of your soul's tribe on a soul level. And they're giving you that guidance, but they're helping you to grow and transform just like a spirit guide would, but it's a group. It's never just the one. It's never just